We're up to Perek Hamishi, the fifth chapter of Hilchas Tefillah, the Laws of Prayer. In most standard Rambams, this will be in Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. Alach Aleph. Shmona Dvarim Tzarech HaMispalel Lizhar Behen V'La'asoson. There are eight things that the one who prays has to be careful about and do. V'mayodachuk Onenas HaShavav V'La'asoson. If he was pressed, or there was an accident, or he purposely didn't do one of these things, and Makvim, it isn't critical, and the prayer is still valid. And these are the eight things. Amida, standing. Nochach Amigdash, facing the temple. V'tikin Aguf, preparing the body. V'tikin Amalbushim, preparing the clothing. V'tikin Amachim, preparing the place. V'shvayas Akol, having your voice on a certain level. V'kriya, and bending the knee. V'shtachavaya, and bowing. Now the Rambam is going to explain each of these eight categories. Halacha Beis. Amida Ketzet, standing, how so? Amos Balal El Amumud, you're not supposed to pray Shemone Esrei except one standing. Yosheb Espino Bagola, if he was sitting in a boat or in a wagon, Im Yochel Amud Yamud, if he can stand, he should stand. Im Lav, if not, Yeshub Im Komo Vispalal, he should sit in his place and pray. Cholom Espalal Filoshocha Vatsido, a sick person can pray even when lying on his side. Provided that he can concentrate. If he's so sick that he can't concentrate, he shouldn't pray. Similarly, somebody who is very thirsty or hungry, they're considered like sick people. If he has the ability to concentrate his mind, he should pray. If not, he shouldn't pray until he eats and drinks. Because otherwise he won't concentrate, and then the prayer is not valid. If he was riding on an animal, even though he has somebody who can hold behemto his animal, lo yered, he shouldn't go down. Ella yeshiv b'mkomo, he should remain sitting on the animal, misfalal, and pray. Now, why shouldn't he go down and have someone hold the animal? So he should be able to concentrate. If he goes off, even if someone is holding the animal, he'll be afraid, and he won't really concentrate properly. Halacha Gimel, Nochach HaMikdash Ketzad, facing the temple, how so? Hayom b'chutz la'aretz, if he was standing outside of Israel, Mach Sepanav Nochach Eretz Yisrael Mespaol, he turns his face towards Israel and prays. Hayom b'aretz, if he was standing in Israel proper, Achav Nespanav Kenegad Yerushalayim, he turns his face towards Jerusalem. Hayom b'Yerushalayim, if he was standing in Jerusalem, Machavim Panav Keneged Amigdash, he should face the temple. Hayom b'Amigdash, if he was standing in the temple, Machavim Panav Keneged Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, he should turn his face towards the Holy of Holies. Suma u'mish lo yochel achavnas aruchas, somebody who is blind, or somebody who just can't figure out which direction he should face. Malach b'svinor, he's going on a ship which is constantly turning, and he can't face necessarily the right direction. Yechav naslibo keneged hashchina v'yispalo, he should turn his heart towards the divine presence and pray. Halacha dala, tikun aguf ketzad, preparing the body, how so? Yishomad b'tfiloso b'tfilo tzarech lechav nasuagla v'zu b'tzadzu, when he stands in prayer, he has to put his feet one next to the other. Benosanin of Lamata, he should cast his eyes downward, kilu mavet loretz, as if he's looking on the ground. V'yelibo ponu lamayla, but his heart should be free and soaring above, kilu amud b'shamayim, as if he's standing in the heavens. Meniach yadav al libo kfusim, he puts his hands over his heart, folded. Ayimanas al smallest, the right hand on top of the left hand. V'yelmit kevet lefni rabo, he stands like a slave before his master. The aim of Yir of Fachad, with great fear and awe. For Niach Yodav al Chalotzav, he shouldn't put his hands on his hips, which is an arrogant way of standing. Lachahei, Tikkun HaMalbushim Ketzad, preparing his clothing, how so? Sakim HaMalbushim, he should fix his clothing, Tchila first. Umatzayin Atzmo Umahadur, he should get dressed up in a nice, beautiful way. Shinam, as it says, Ishtachul Hashem Ba'adus Kodesh, bow down to God with the holy beauty, or respect. Le'yamid b'tfilah ba'pundaso, he shouldn't stand in prayer with this kind of garment used to catch the sweat. Lo b'rosh megula, nor with an uncovered head. Lo b'raglay megulos, not with uncovered feet. If it is the place in a country where people do not stand in front of great people unless they have shoes on. Wherever he is, he should not be holding something like tefillin in his hands or a Torah scroll in his arms and pray, because he's concerned with them. They may fall. Neither should he hold vessels or money in his hands. He can pray holding a lulav during Sukkot because it's the mitzvah of the day. If he had a burden on his head, the gizman tefillah in the time of prayer arrived, if it was less than the weight of four kav, if he can put it on his back, and he can pray while having this sort of as a pack on his back. If it was four kav, was that weight or more, he must put it down on the ground, and then he can pray. It is the custom of the sages and the students of the sages not to pray except when they have the talus covering their heads. Vav, tikkun ha-makom ketzad, preparing the place, how so? Yamud b'makom namuch, he should stand in a low place. V'yachzeh panav l'kosel, he should turn with his face towards the wall. He should open windows or doors facing Jerusalem. In order to pray towards them, as it says, that he had his windows open in his attic, Daniel, and he prayed to the direction of Yerushalayim. The Kesef Mishnah brings down that the Rambam, in one of his responsa, writes that you don't need windows in a shul or a place that's set aside for prayer. And when we're talking about the windows, we're talking about someone who's praying in his own private house, that he should pray next to the window towards Jerusalem. The Rambam continues, he should have a set place for his prayer. He shouldn't pray in a ruin, not in the back of a synagogue, unless he turns his face towards the synagogue. Now in the Gemara, Rashi and Tosfos have different interpretations. Rashi learns that he's at the back of the synagogue means the direction. Let's say you have the doors of the synagogue and everyone is facing in the when you walk into the door, they're facing straight ahead. The back of the synagogue means he's not in the direction of the door. He's the direction of the wall, the outer wall of the synagogue. And when it says you should turn to the synagogue, that means he shouldn't have his back to that wall, but he should turn with his face towards the synagogue. Tosfos learns that it's the opposite, that the back of the synagogue means the entrance way, and when it says you're not supposed to pray with your back to the synagogue, it means that he's facing the opposite direction of everyone else. Rather, he should face the same direction as everyone else, facing the door, and praying that manner. The Rambam doesn't specify how he interprets the meaning of that Gemara. You're not allowed to sit next to somebody who's standing and praying, or to walk in front of him, until he keeps a distance of four cubits. You shouldn't stand on a place that's higher than three cubits, three hand breaths, or more, and pray. If it's less than three hand breaths, it's considered like on the ground. But if it's three or more, you shouldn't stand there. You shouldn't stand on a bed, nor on a bench, nor on a chair. If there was a tall, high thing that was built, it has 4x4 cubits, shushir habayis, that is considered like a house already. It's like he's on a second story. With the spalabo, he's permitted to pray there, because he's like in a different story. If he was surrounded with a fence on all sides, even if this elevated place does not have 4x4 cubits, he can pray there, because it's not recognized that he's on a higher place, because he's in a separate domain, he's like in a separate room, so it doesn't matter that he's higher, but he's in a different room. The Ravid says, if he can go down from this high place, even if it's 4x4 cubits, or has a wall around it, he should go down and pray. The Kesef Mishnah says that the Rambam is very understandable. The Rambam holds, why should he go down? If he's in a separate place, there's no reason for him to go down. He doesn't have to. Halacha ches. Omnim shay osim halacha brashil, on workers who were working at the top of a tree, abrosh anadvach, or on the top of a row of stones for a building, abrosh akolson, on top of a wall. The gizman tefila, and the time for prayer arrives, yodin lamatim spalulim v'chozen limlachtim. They can come down and pray, Shemon Esrei, then return to their work. If they're on top of a olive tree, or on top of a fig tree, spalumim komon, they pray in their place. They should talk in Maruba, because it's very hard to get down from there, and they allow them to stay on those trees. What should they pray? If all they were getting was not money, but just a meal for their work, they have to pray each of the three prayers of the day, and say all of the 19 blessings. If they were praying and getting paid as if they were working and getting paid as well, they prayed the short version of the prayer, Havinenu, as we learned before, the first three blessings, a middle blessing called Havinenu, and the last three blessings. Beikachon, in either case, in Yadin Lepnei Teva, they don't go down to lead the services. Venosin Eskapeim, they do not lift up their hands in blessing of their Kohanim to bless the people. They are hired to work, and they're allowed to say their prayers, but not to spend extra time by leading the service and so on. That would be cheating their employer. The making of the voice, how so? You shouldn't lift up your voice loud when you pray. Neither should you just pray in your heart and not say anything. You should pronounce the words with his lips, and make it heard to his own ears, balachash, quietly. When he says the Shemoneh Esrei, he shouldn't have his voice heard, unless he was sick, and he has to. Or he can't concentrate until he speaks it a little louder. It's a mutter, then it's permitted. As long as this is not in the public, that he shouldn't confuse the people in the congregation by his uplifted voice. Kriya Ketzad, the bowing, how so? There are five places that you're supposed to bow in each prayer. Baruch Rishona B'Tchila B'Sof. First two is the first blessing in the beginning when you say Baruch Atah Hashem, and at the end, the second Baruch Atah Hashem of the first blessing. Hodaya b'tchila b'sof, the beginning and the end of the blessing of Hodaya, when you say Modim, is the beginning and the end of that blessing. And ukeshegomer tefila, when he finishes Shemon Esrei, kareya, he bows, u'paseh shalosh p'tiyas lachorav, and then he walks three steps back. Ukeshekareya nosen shalom ismol atzmo, when he is still bowing, he gives shalom, he says also shalom, and he's sort of bidding farewell to Hashem. First he turns to his left side, then to his right side, and then afterwards he lifts up his head from the bowing. When he bows at these four places, he bends the knee when he says the word baruch. When he stands up, he stands up when he says the name of God. The Medvam Mamurim, the previous laws apply behagyot by a plain person. Ava Kohen Gadol Kareya, but a Kohen Gadol, the high priest, Kareya b'tchilas kol bracha b'sof kol bracha. He bows at the beginning and the end of each blessing. The Melech and the king, Kivin Sheshachah b'rishona, once he bows at the first blessing, Enim magbiya rosho achigom makol tfilas. He doesn't lift up his head until he finishes the entire Shemoneh Esrei. V'lama nosin shalom l'smol otchila. Why does he give peace, give the farewell greeting to Hashem first to his left side? Usually we do things on the right side first. Because his left is the right of the person who he's facing. Kolmar, that is, if he'd be standing in front of a king, he would bid his farewell, bowing first to the right hamelach of the king. Then to the left of the king. Therefore, they instituted that you should bid farewell from prayer the way you would bid farewell from a king. All of these bowings that we refer to, he has to bow until the vertebrae of the spine stick out, and he makes himself like a bow.
if he bowed a little bit and it was hard for him, it looks like he's bowing with his whole strength, in a choshesh he doesn't have to worry about it, that's enough. Yud Gimel, Yishtachavoye Ketzad, bowing, how so? Achash HaMagbiya Rosh HaMakriya Chamishas, after he lifts up his head from the fifth bow, after he's finished his Shemoneh Esrei proper, Yeshiv La'aretz, he should sit on the ground, V'novel upon Avarza, and fall upon his face on the ground. And then he should supplicate in any supplicatory prayers that he chooses. Kriya Amura B'chol Malkom Ala B'kayim, when we use the word Kriya in any place, it means on the knees. Kida, when we use the word Kida Ala Payim, it means on your face. Your knees are on the ground and you put your face to the ground also. Shtachavaya, when we use the word bowing, is that Pishut Yadayim V'raglayim, that means prostrating yourself, hands and feet spread out. So that he's lying on his face on the ground. Yudalit, kishu also nefilas panim achat filah. When you do this nefilas apayim, the falling upon the face after the prayers, yesh mishu also kida. Some do it in the form of kida. They bow with their knees and touch their face to the ground. Yesh mishu also hishtachavaya. And some do the hishtachavaya. They prostrate themselves on the ground. Yosel lasas hishtachavaya lavanim. You're not allowed to make this bowing on stones. El b'migdash, only in the temple. Moshe b'yana b'ilchas avodas gechavim, as we explained in the laws of idolatry. In adam chashu b'shalipol alponav, an important person is not supposed to fall on his face. And amkenu yodeh b'atzmu shu tzadik Yeshua, unless he knows that he's righteous like Yeshua, and his prayer will be answered. Because otherwise people will say, why wasn't his prayer answered? Avamat aponav miyati, turns aside his face a little bit. Then a kovash osim b'karki, he doesn't put it down all the way to the ground. Now, he leans over and bows, but not all the way to the ground. It's permitted to pray Shemoneh Esrei in one place and to fall upon your face in another. Right, it says in the Yerushalmi, Bavad Yochad al Tzibur Vistigarsi Bavad Yochad B'Tzibur. That when is it forbidden if an individual is praying for the congregation? Then, unless he knows he's going to be answered, if he's an important person, he shouldn't fall on his face. Or an individual in the congregation, because if they're not in the congregation, they're not going to see him anyway, and it's okay for him to fall upon his face. But if he's doing it in a congregation, you should not fall upon his face. The Ketzav Mishnah feels that the Rambam probably agrees with this, and when the Rambam says, unless he's answered like Yeshua, he means that people see him, and like the Ravid says, that it's in a congregation, and they'll see whether he's answered or not. It's a custom spread out over all of Israel that you don't fall on your face on the Shabbos or on the holidays. V'lo Rosh Hashanah, not on Rosh Hashanah. V'lo Rosh Chodeshim, not on Rosh Chodesh, the new moon. V'chanukah, v'purim, or in Chanukah, or in Purim. V'lo b'mincha shalav v'shabbosis v'yom tovim. V'lo b'arav v'shabachol yom. Not on the eve, the afternoon service of the day before Shabbos or Yom Tov. V'lo b'arav v'shabachol yom, not on the evening service any day. There are some individuals who fall upon their face at night. And Yom Kippur alone, they fall upon their face in each and every prayer. It's a day of supplication and requests and fasting.